T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To a new record high of $4.59 this morning. Look at that.
Yeah. So this is the 11th day in a row of all-time record high gas prices, Lee. To have that many days in a row is itself a record.
I got to tell you, my son just bought a new pickup truck and
got
a half a tank of gas, and it was over $60.
I know. I had that.
I was gassing
up the minivan. I thought, well, you know what? I'll do my husband a favor because he normally drives it, and I had it, and so I put about a little more than a third of a tank in that, just to get him caught up, and it was like $41.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
And the little car I drive has got an 11-gallon tank with like 10.5 gallons, and but I have to run premium, so I'll be paying probably around five and a quarter, if not more, per gallon.
And then Walmart announcing, well, you know, we're gonna start offering more of our milk gallons in half gallon size. Because, in other words, people just, that's what they're going to be buying now, because they can't afford the whole gallon. I mean, I guarantee a lot of people are like, okay, well, I'm going to get a half a tank of gas now, and I'm going to drive very sparingly all week to get to payday on Friday. I mean, there are people doing that now. There have to be.
Yeah.
And so that makes the hearing yesterday all the more shocking. Because the Biden officials, this is Obama's philosophies, really just gaffed off the whole gas thing, the gasoline price. And they're not super impressed, moved, or in any way alarmed by any of this. And you can tell why. This is a litmus test for the left. You can't say gas prices are too high because the goal is to get them higher.
Exactly.
So this game was played yesterday with the Interior Secretary. One of the senators tried to get her to say, hey, you know what? Gas prices are too high.
Do you believe that gas prices are too high?
Americans are still recovering from this terrible pandemic, and there are a lot of other world events that are making things difficult.
So it sounds you're unwilling to say that gas prices are too high.
We're doing all we can, Senator.
Now, gas prices being high is the goal.
Right. And then we got over this pandemic a long time ago. I don't even want to hear about that anymore. I'm sorry. That is not a factor.
It's absolutely not a factor, and people remember the gap. You know, Trump handed over low gas prices.
The only thing that we're still dealing with about the pandemic is the trillions of dollars in overspending by Congress that was wasted largely and is causing the inflation that we're seeing now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought this week one of the most shocking things was to see the world's number one and number two richest men, Bezos and Elon Musk, both come out and say, nope, the prices you're seeing right now are caused by inflation. Yeah. In fact, Bezos sounded like he could have been hosting this show when he said, listen, you know, because remember, the Biden folks try to claim that inflation was because taxes aren't high enough. And so they try to claim that. And Bezos just tweeted back, listen, no, they're it's because y'all spend so much. And then he said the same thing I keep saying. Oh, my God. Imagine if they'd passed the BBB, the Build Back Better. That would have been $3.5 trillion more printed at least. I mean, we'd have food riots in the streets. And he flat out said, look, Manchin saved y'all. He was the only one who had any sense. You would have printed $3.5 trillion more. But they don't care. So I want to play this. This is our Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm. She's admitting back in November of 2021 that, you know, oil prices going up are it's pretty much the plan.
We're working through an energy transition. And the reality is we have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize this is a transition.
Remember in the same month, November of 2021, when Granholm, the energy secretary of this country, was asked, you know, do you have a plan to bring it down? And she thought that was funny.
In Sturgis, Michigan, it is $2.89 a gallon. I guess that's better than in California. What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this.
So that was back when she was admittingly that, I mean, this is the plan. We're going through a transition. And she even says, as she's telling you, we're going to transition off oil. She even tells you, well, we're going to try to cushion the shock for the American people, the price shock.
The bottom line is that this president and this administration are looking at every single tool to shield American families from the impact of rising energy prices. And we're working through an energy transition.
No, you're not.
And we've got to start by...
I'm sorry, she's not looking at every single tool.
Oh,
because
not
one of the tools
tool.
Would be to increase production, to make it easier for companies to go about doing that, to do things that would actually increase the amount of oil and would actually decrease the price to the American consumer and stabilize the U.S. economy. You're not using every tool. You're taking tools and burying them out in the backyard behind the White House.
Of course they are. Because this is the plan. So this was her in 2021 being honest about the plan. Look, we're going through an energy transition. She's like, ah, we'll try to shelter the American people from. But bottom line is they don't really care. And then, so that's a background on her. That's what she's saying in 2021. But today is 2022. Now, remember, 2021 was before Putin invaded Ukraine, right? She was very honest. No, we're doing this. This is an energy transition. Listen to her. This is Jennifer Granholm again, same energy secretary, lying to Senator Josh Hawley yesterday on what caused this. And the reason it's a big deal she's lying, Lee, is what this tells you is if her thing is, hey, I'm going to blame Putin, it's not on me, I didn't do it, then there's no plan to stop it. They won't even acknowledge the problem.
Secretary Granholm, today in the state of Missouri, the average price of gasoline today, as of this morning, is $4.10. Average price of diesel is $5.18. And I'm sure you've seen the reporting this morning that now AAA is projecting that gas prices will hit a national average of $6 a gallon by the month of August. Is this acceptable to you?
No, it is not. And you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine and pulling essentially those barrels.
With all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. In January of 2021, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, that price was up over 30%, and it has been going up consistently since. What are you doing to reverse this administration's policies that are drawing down our own supply of energy in this country, that are throttling oil and gas production in the United States of America? What are you doing about it?
With respect, sir, it is not administration policies that have affected supply and demand.
How can you say that when the price of gas was up over 30% from January to...
You
answer my questions, and it's my time, Madam Secretary, so why don't you answer my question? From January to August, the price of gasoline was up over 30%. In my state alone, it has been a continuous upward tick since then. And here's what your president did when he first came to office. He immediately re-entered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in Anwar. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. That accounts, by the way, for 25% of U.S. oil production. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed new regulations on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all just in the first few days. Are you telling me that's had no effect on our energy supply?
Nice going, Senator.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want to hear her tell the truth as she was in 2021, this is what's causing the pain.
We're working through an energy transition. And the reality is we have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize it.
That's what she'd say if she was telling the truth back was doing in 2021. But she's not doing it anymore. It's all Putin's fault.
Yeah.
You know, I guess these people just assume that, like, nobody's going to pay attention to what they said 2 months ago or 2 years ago or a year ago when they're lying. I mean, it's amazing. No, it's Putin's fault. No, it's not. It's your policy. You flat out told us the prices would skyrocket and you'd try to help Americans. But, you know, if you couldn't, that was okay. So anyway, Biden has fled the country. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I would, too. What he's doing is fleeing the country ahead of Title 42 being allowed by his administration to expire. They fought in court to sunset it. And have you seen the new numbers UK Daily Mail just published? Remember they reported a few weeks ago it was going to be 6 million a year coming over that border?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've adjusted that upward.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they're thinking it's going to be about 8.4 million
a year.
Well,
you know, inflation, Tara, everything's going up.
Yeah, it's all going up, including the number of people coming across those borders. That's really, really scary, given that we've just learned in recent weeks that I guess it's the new policy of the Department of Homeland Security. When you catch a terrorist, you just let them go. I mean, at this point, why do we even have border guard at the border? I mean, seriously, if you're going to catch actual terrorists off the international wanted list, and Mayorkas, head of the Department of Homeland Insecurity, admits, hey, we let some of them go. What is even the purpose of those guys going to work every day?
Maybe we should just have crossing guards, you know, like at school zones where you're just like, you know, come on through. Just
because we don't want anybody to get hit by like a car or something.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Okay, that could work. Because, I mean, what is he... Never mind. So you know what that, you know what he's, but I'm telling you what he's doing. There's going to be huge coverage of it because it's the 24th. It's the 20th right now. So the 24th is supposed to happen. And Joe is going to be conveniently somewhere else so that they're hoping you won't notice that the voter drive has been kicked into overdrive at the border.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Can you imagine, folks? I should start a whole segment on this and do it every day. If Trump had done this, said this, the absolute outrage. I mean, we've had two children, all right, already had to have surgery because their moms can't get the specialty baby formula that they need. They've got digestive problems. And guess what? They've got digestive problems. They had to take formula that's not right for them because of the man-caused disaster by the FDA. And guess what? They've had to have surgery. Do you know what they'd say about Trump if Trump had overseen a thing like that? Child killer. He'd be nothing less than a child killer. You know it. I know it. Doesn't care about kids. That's who they are. But it's Joe's mess, so it's all okay. It's all good. Meanwhile, folks, I was just gobsmacked by this. These photos from Breitbart doing actual journalism of the shelves in Mexico. There's photos of the shelves in Mexico. They're totally stocked. I mean, third world country can get this done. But we can't get this done. Meanwhile, brawl breaks out in the Target. The Target apparently was just restocked with the rare find in this third world country of baby formula. And a woman goes and literally fills up her entire cart, like as they're putting it up. Well, another woman is following her through the store and going off on her. Here's the UK Daily Mail's coverage of this. A mother took it upon herself to confront a fellow mom at a Target store. She was filling up her shopping cart with baby formula. She's saying, my baby needs it too. My baby needs it too. She keeps, just basically following her and haranguing her. She should be harangued. You have a full cart. Look at all this. The woman exclaims as she spots the fully stocked cart. Look at the shelves. You don't think I need it for my baby too? The other mother responds in broken English. You think I knew you were going to come and get this? Well, you should see her cart. I mean, at that level of baby form, you're just going to be selling that online. I mean, that's all you're doing. You don't care about anybody else. The other mother responds, you think I knew you were going to come and get this one? You just cleared, and then the other mom says, you just cleared the whole shelf of all the formula. So, brawl breaks out at the Target. And look, if you do this, you take all that baby, you ought to be slapped. Not advocating it. I'm just saying that's what you deserve karmically. And again, folks, I still have a lot of questions about this because almost everything the media is telling you about it is a lie. It is bizarre that the FDA shut that factory down. I mean, just bizarre. Because, as again, the Wall Street Journal pointed out earlier this week, and this is a question people need to be asking, is this a deliberately created food shortage to see what people do? I'm serious. Because the Wall Street Journal pointed out earlier this week, like normally if we, have a high capacity factory that turns stuff out, especially stuff that's critical, they don't shut it down. They don't stop production. They come in and oversee it. I explained this earlier this week. The kind of bacteria that those four children got sick from, including the two who died, was not found in the factory. The bacteria found in the factory was not found on any of the production equipment. They have not found it in any of the formula. So what they did was genetic sequencing, right? Because it has DNA too. So you've got two tragically dead babies that died from two separate strains, two separately genetic strains of that bacteria. Now a third different strain was found at the factory. But it was a different one than the two children had or died from. They cannot find the strain that either child died from in the factory or in the formula. And then this, if you go through your home and you swab from top to bottom, you're going to find those same bacteria strains. So there's no connection between the deaths of the children and the baby formula. Can't find it. So why did the FDA do what it doesn't normally do and shut this down? Why? Why not leave it open? Let it keep manufacturing. And then Elise Stefanik, congresswoman from New York, starts working with the FDA back in the fall, begging and pleading, get this up and running. We're going to be out of baby formula. And the parents have been out of baby formula for weeks and they just ignore it. Something's not right here. This is a government-caused disaster and something is not, I don't know. One of the most shocking stories of the week is what happened in federal court this week. With an FBI agent admitting under oath, we knew the Russian collusion information brought to us by Hillary's campaign and the DNC Democrat National Committee was fake within 24 hours. He's a cybersecurity expert working for the FBI. He said not only did they know it was fake right away, Russia couldn't possibly be communicating with Trump via the Alpha Bank server, and just given the information presented. But he said it appeared that the data was so bad, it appeared to have been assembled by a mentally disabled person. Okay, so that's how weak this was. So this FBI agent's testifying to this under oath. This is why the cable networks are ignoring this story. They're pretending that there is no trial going on right now. You know what's shocking about that? He's like, yeah, we knew it was fake. We knew it was fake within 24 hours. Folks, do you realize the New York Times and Washington Post would go on to win a Pulitzer for that story? Where the FBI agent's like, yeah, man, you could tell the person who put this mess together was mentally disabled. That was how crazy it was. We knew there was no Russia collusion within 24 hours. Pulitzers were won for that story. That Alpha Bank story. They haven't been given out. I mean, they haven't been given back. There's no shame. You know, it just goes to show you how big the lie is in our society. I mean, I could see a normal, rational, functioning person going, you know what? Well, yeah, but I mean, the head of the CIA and the head, the director of national intelligence, the DNI, highest ranking intel official in our country, and the heads of the FBI, they all went on TV. They told me it was real. And then everybody won a Pulitzer for it. I mean, how could it not be real? I mean, there's never a conspiracy that big. But there is, and there was. But then it got crazy yesterday. You're like, wait, that wasn't nuts? No. So Michael Sussman, who is the attorney for the DNC and for Hillary, a thing the lying, thieving FBI could have figured out by simply Googling his name. Duh. They knew. And that's the contention of Sussman's lawyers. Look, I didn't lie to the FBI. I didn't deceive them that I work for Hillary or the DNC. They knew. He's like, yeah, I didn't mention it, but it's because I knew they knew. Here's what's fascinating. So, because the FBI is on trial here, too. So Sussman, his attorneys yesterday, are trying to discredit the FBI lie. This is fascinating, right? Because all these attorneys are connected to Hillary. So Hillary's controlling this whole defense of Sussman, right? Who is her attorney. Because all of this implicates her. So the attorneys for Sussman yesterday came out in an attempt to discredit the FBI, which, believe me, is not hard to do. And they presented memos written in three different FBI officials' handwriting. Notes of their lies that they told to the DOJ. Lie after lie after lie. Oh, this information? Oh, this came from the Crown. It came from the UK intelligence agency. No, it didn't. It was totally made up. Came from Hillary and the Russian she hired. So lie after lie after lie to the DOJ to get the prosecution going. You know what is shocking? Here's what we now know from this trial. Within 24 hours, the FBI knew this whole thing was fake. Okay. The first thing you do at that point is you Google, who is Michael Sussman? Oh. He's a lawyer for the DNC and Hillary. Well, of course he's lying to us about Trump. They're running against him right now. So this FBI cybersecurity analyst is testifying, yeah, I knew it was fake within 24 hours, which makes it fascinating that just a few months later, James Comey would take it and go before a congressional committee and announce to the world, because that's where he first did it, that Trump was under investigation by the FBI for potential collusion with Russia. So we now know what his cybersecurity agents thought of this, that it was a joke, that the evidence was so bad they thought a mentally disabled person had put it together. And yet Comey goes to Congress a few months later anyway and tells them in the most serious terms that Trump's under investigation. This is very bad. This is very scary. Putin probably controls him. And the rest is history. And we now know exactly how bad that evidence was. Their own people were telling him it's fake. I mean, this is so bad, it looks like somebody mentally disabled put it together. So you've got Hillary's side literally arguing that you can't trust the FBI because they lie. And not only do they lie, they use the Trump-Russia collusion fake data provided to them by the Democrats, by Hillary, and by the DNC to lie. And the reason they're saying this in court is because they want the jury to let Sussman off, which they're going to. The jury's going to do this. The jury's absolutely not going to convict. I mean, the jury is loaded with Biden, Obama, and Hillary donors. You know, it was going to be fascinating with this, too. And the media's going to say, oh, see, this proves there's no Russia collusion. When he gets off, he'll get off. Now, what it proves is that the court system is fundamentally broken in D.C. The judge should have thrown all these jurors out. I mean, one of them is good friends with her daughter and on the same sports team as another attorney's daughter. I mean, it's just so incestuous. The problem with D.C. is 90% of people there are registered Democrats, okay? So given the bias among Democrats, I just don't think justice is possible anymore in Washington, D.C. I think it's impossible. And you're sitting them in front of a pro-Hillary jury. They all voted for it. I mean, are they going to convict? Heck no. So Sussman goes down. I'm going to be absolutely shocked here. But what's fascinating is that Hillary has turned tables here. The attorneys working for Sussman have turned tables here and said, you can't believe the FBI. Look at them. They took this, like, clearly fake, completely deranged data we gave them when we claimed that Trump-Russia was real. And look at that. They took it and lied to the Department of Justice. You can't trust them. And this is actually being testified to in open court. It's unbelievable. You know what that means? Folks, I will never forget. For 3 years, round-the-clock Russia coverage. Was it not? I mean, there were days I'd go on Newsbusters and CNN, half the broadcast, two-thirds of the broadcast, was devoted to the Russia story. It's all fake. But what gets so crazy and so scary is that these are the heads of our Department of Justice, our FBI, flat-out liars. That was the biggest story there was for, like, at least 2 years. Totally fake. What's fake now? And remember what it was like at the time. I mean, I would get very nervous coming on this station, afraid I'm going to hear from corporate saying, no, sorry, don't believe it. You shouldn't believe it. It's fake. That was edgy to do that at the time. I mean, even the Republicans were doing rounds. Lindsey Graham, Trey Gowdy, every night. We've got to investigate. We got to get to the bottom of it. So it's kind of weird because we just learned from NBC that Hunter Biden took $5.8 million from a Chinese dude who wasn't just the go-between between China and Hunter. He's also the go-between between Russian energy companies and Hunter. So we just found a Russian connection they always wanted to find for Donald Trump. You know, we're going to find where the money came from Putin. We're going to find the money. They never found a dime, but we just found it for Hunter. And they don't care. I thought Russia was big and bad and scary. By God, I mean, I thought if our leaders were owned by Russia, that would be like a coup. It would be terrible. But they just don't seem to care. It's weird. And when you connect that to the fact that every 100% of the actions Joe Biden has taken with regards to Russia and our oil have helped Russia at the expense of the American people. You put it all together, connect the dots, and you got to ask a serious question. Is he being paid to hurt Americans in order to help Putin line his pockets? Is a serious question, but it'll never be asked. New survey. Americans spend, individuals, more than $300 a month on impulse purchases. That's individuals, right? So if there's two of you in the house, two adults, your significant other, that'd be $600 a month. Wow. That's a lot. And most impulse buys, right now the number one item is clothing. After that, food and groceries. Stuff you don't need. Followed by shoes, technology, books, takeout, toys, coffee, and spa services, whatever that is. So $300 a month. You know how much? That is so much money. It's like, what, $3,600 a year and then double that for your spouse or significant other? Golly, you know what you could do with that if you saved it over a decade? You're talking 60-some, 70-some $1,000. Look, you want to make your life good, right? So you do deserve some nice things. But one of the ways I've gotten around this, and I'd love to know what you do. Dave Ramsey would tell you, well, you know, you got to budget. You got to put aside some money for your spouse. I'm never going to budget. That's never going to happen. I can't keep track day to day. It's too hard, especially with two people spending out of the same account. So what do? You develop, and you can do this with your spouse too, a set of criteria for whether you're allowed to purchase it. And this has helped me get a handle on this because I'm not a budgeter. Two questions I always ask. Is it a need? If it's not a need, I can't buy it. So do I need, not want this, not would be nice to have, wow, I really deserve this. Is this a need? Do I need it? And then number two, if it is in fact a need, so that'd be like clothing, food, shoes. Okay, if it is a need, can I get by with something else? And a lot of times when I start churning that second question through my mind, I can. And I'll come up with even creative stuff I didn't even think of before for repurchasing, well, you know, repurposing old things or, nah, you know what, I could just do this and this. You could do that with food too. A lot of food stuff. Well, you know, I could substitute this in this recipe. I don't need that. And I find I save so much money that way. And for me, I'm funny. I'm like a kleptomaniac going through the store as I do this product. I have to fight myself for this because I am very thrifty, but it doesn't come easily to me. So I'll load it all in the cart and I'll put the needs in one part of the cart and the wants in the other part. So I upload the needs first. You know, you do the self-checkout, right? So I do the needs and stuff. I like absolutely need this. I need that, whatever. I need this. Okay. And then I get to the wants. And most of the time, all the wants I end up leaving at the checkout. They hate me, by the way, the cashiers. They got to put them all back. But I literally battle myself from the shelves to the checkout. And most of the time I'm successful. But I can't quite walk by it. I'm not willing to let it go yet. I have to go through the two-step process. So that's why I push it around the store. I know it's weird. It's one of my quirks. But that's how I do it, and it works. It has saved me so much money. Those two questions. Is this a need? Not a want, but a need. Okay, I can't have it right now. And if it is a need, can I get by with it? Can I seriously get by without it or repurpose something else or use something as a substitute? And most of the time, the answer is yes. So if I can get through those two questions, yes, it's a need, and yeah, there's no other way around this, I absolutely need this, then I buy it. And you know what's cool about that? Is that when you finally do get to buy that thing that's a need, it's fun. It's so much more fun because you have no guilt. You absolutely need this thing. So that's how I do it. Texter writes, hey, Tara, how do you control your spending on Amazon? Oh, Amazon is my Achilles heel. Same way. Same thing. I do a version of it. I know it drives my He's never said anything. He drives my husband nuts, but I know it's got to. I'll put it in the cart. And then I'll walk away. I'll let it sit there. And a lot of times, by the time I come back, he's either removed it from the cart or I'm like, eh, I don't need that. You know what I mean? The thrill wears off and you're just like, so then I do the save for later button. Oh, well, I'm not going to lose it. It's down there in the save for later thing. And then I just usually don't go back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.